All right, welcome. We're back. Mountain West Connection Basketball Podcast. People are listening to the show. I've noticed an uptick in... I thought March Madness would give us the huge break in traffic we always needed. Not so. Basketball, apparently, in March. So thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we will have another show on March Madness to give a recap of how terrible we did. But a trio tonight. Myself, Jeremy Moss, Eli Butker's with us, and Nevada... Yes, not Nevada, Nevada writer. Brandon Blake's with us as well. So, hello, good evening, everyone. 2 days, basically, we are 48 hours from Nevada tipping off against Iowa State.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're about two days away from it. I'm Brandon. I do all things Nevada basketball and football.
How's Florida doing? How are they going to do?
I'm fingers crossed. Let's just not lose the Tennessee game.
There are some who are saying ETSU yeah. might be victorious.
Nah, I don't see that.
They shouldn't be.
Hey, at least it's not. At least we're not playing Vanderbilt. It's a team in Tennessee. It's not Vanderbilt.
Oh, you don't get me started on Vanderbilt. 15 losses, or is that Wake Forest that has 15 losses?
What team is that? That's Vandy, and I think they're going to win their first game too.
Probably.
They play Northwestern, right?
Yep.
Yes.
All right, so here's how we're going to do this. We're going to kind of chat about the games, or the one game, I guess. Really quick, who knows what True TV is?
I do now.
I do now.
Did you before?
Only around this time of year. I had to because... I didn't have it like 2 years ago. I was looking for some of the games, and I have TBS, I have TNT, I have CBS, but what's True TV? And I didn't have it, so okay, I had to shell out more money for cable to get it. So it's like, yeah, I guess.
They finally, at least they moved it to be in the same area as TBS, TNT, because before it was like on, at least for me, DirecTV, like way out by itself.
That's funny because I have Cox Cable, and they're TBS, TNT, and the CBS, they're pretty close to each other. I have to go all the way to the other end of the dial almost, like past the premium channels, just to find True TV to only watch it maybe three times a year. If that
doesn't True TV usually carry the lesser games though? It's just me, but it seems like it has the lesser games. You wouldn't see a team like Duke or Kansas on there.
No, you're right. Typically, they'll have obviously the games tonight or today and tomorrow, the Tuesday and Wednesday games. And then I think they also get like one Sweet 16 game, but it's for the, it's usually not the best matchup. So whatever you want to say about Nevada, Iowa State, but it's fewer games. So once it gets going, they get less, but I think they do get one Sweet 16 game.
And I had to make this all about Florida, but I believe Florida ETSU is on True TV for reasons. Who knows?
Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Oh, nobody like bias against Mike White.
Oh man, yeah. Let's see. Yeah. Florida is actually True TV Thursday, 3 o'clock out there in Orlando, so they get to be close. So, I kind of watch True TV a little bit because I'll stumble across that Impractical Jokers show. It's actually could be pretty funny at times. It's one of those things, this is on. I'll watch 10 minutes of it and laugh for a while. So I'll watch that, but do not bring heat to their Twitter account ever.
No.
They are the best. Because I just replied, like, I did a little article real quick. Oh, we're on True, the game's on True TV. And I made sure my tweet was, do not bring anything to them. They, like, reply a couple times. But they're like, do better, guys. You need to try harder. You guys are terrible at... giving us smack about our channel,
and you know, for the life, I want to put in because I'll be doing the preview on this game. I want to do the time and mention True TV and mention just for the moment. Good luck trying to find it, but I don't need the clap back from True TV's Twitter.
Well, they for us, like I made sure to tag them. I did it to me see exactly what it said here because they gave me a fancy retweet and. Or comment, hold on. Got a lot of them, yeah. They had two things, like, yeah, that's right. End quotes, or block quote, or parentheses, whatever, brackets. Paces around, removes shirt. You want to go? Rips off pants, still pasted. We're amped!
It's all humorous, though. They're not just blasting people. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah, they're good. And then they put something with it. Is this what Adam ruins everything? I think they replied with something else on there. Because that show's, I see clips of that. That's pretty funny. But you'll see plenty of commercials for all those shows. But it's all, okay. It's True TV. Find it. Or just go to the March Madness app. That's the easiest thing to do. There's no blocks for blackouts, local games. Download the app. Have your five screens. Chromecast, the Quadrant, I think you can do. I haven't messed with my Chromecast yet for this. But I believe you can do, like, the Watch ESPN where you do, like, on your computer, the four show, whatever, Quadrant thing. Get a giant TV, cast that. You get four games at once. You have a computer, tablet, whatever. Watch what you can. That's all we're saying. Don't go to work on Thursday. Who goes to work, right?
I'm not going in on Thursday either myself. Or Friday.
There we go.
Hunkered in my place until Monday.
Perfect. Yeah, I don't have to go into work until like 1 o'clock, and then I can stream the games while I'm working, so that's always good. All right, so let's get to the game itself. We got Iowa State, Nevada. So sorry to you, Brandon, because you a little more closely. What was your first thought of them playing the quote underdog Big 12 tournament champions?
Yeah, the underdog thing is a real trip to me, because I mean these are both really good teams. They like to get up and down on the floor, especially Iowa State. They've been, even going back to Fred Hoiberg when he was coaching there, they are very run and gun, hit a bunch of threes. I didn't believe the tallest guy they have there is maybe 6'7", 6'8", and maybe I'm stretching it, no pun intended. So they're very run and gun team. Monte Morris is just one of the best guards out there in the country, and if he was at a power program like Kansas or, you know, wherever, somewhere a little bit, a school with a little bit more, I hate to use this word, strong following or whatever, he would get a lot more recognition than he would. Like I said, the underdog thing is funny to me. One issue, though, with Iowa State, though, is they mentioned that they, you know, tallest guy is 6'7", and they hit a lot of threes. They're not a very good rebounding team. I think they're somewhere near the bottom in, I believe, rebounding. So you're looking at, there's an opportunity for Cameron Oliver and Jordan Caroline and that front court to really just attack the glass and get at them. I mean, they rebounded, I think, very well in the Mountain West tournament in the tournament final against, I think, two of the good rebounding teams in Fresno State. And Colorado State especially. So it's an opportunity for them to really attack the glass and hit threes while they're at it.
So, yeah, so I was chatting with the guys. We'll get to what I did. The guys at Wide Right and Natty Light, who are hilarious at what they do. But reading through stuff, yeah, there's people saying, oh, it's a popular upset pick. Yeah, like Scott Van Pelt, Seth Davis. So they had this as like one of the more interesting games out there. But let me read this exactly from their head coach. Was it Steve Prohm? Prohm? Okay, he's like that. He's like, that's fine. I think everybody's picking them, and not just picking them against us, picking them that make a great run as well, which some people Sweet 16 apparently. That's fine. Our team, we haven't gotten a lot of attention all season long, to be honest. He's not wrong there, but you're ranked in the top 25. You have one of the best guards in the country, likely first round draft pick. You've been to the tournament 6 years in a row now. You won the Big 12 tournament 3 or 4 years. I like his last comment. Obviously, Nevada is very good. But the funny thing, but it's kind of ironic. I was looking at the lineup for Nevada, because, like, the actual positions, I know they have the side advantage. That's a big deal. I didn't realize technically Nevada runs a four-guard lineup.
In a way. Yeah, it's basically Cam Oliver. He's your, you know, the coin the term stretch four. He's their stretch four and five, especially. But Caroline is, you know, you could play him at the three or the four. Yeah. You're right. They pretty much, it's Drew, then Marcus Marshall, and then it's Caroline, and then Cam Oliver. So it's an interesting matchup because they're very similar, except for the rebound, in fact. And also, I don't think Iowa State has a player like Cam Oliver that can attack the paint, crash the glass, really great athleticism, but also can step back and hit a three. You know, I don't think Iowa State
Heat check.
Yes. Oh, no, no, Marcus Marshall. Mr. Heat. Yes. But yeah, I don't think they have anybody like that on that squad. And like I said, it's interesting because they're similar teams. You know, if you sit and think about it, if you really got to the nut, to the basics of it, they're very similar in terms of they like to run up and down and run up and down the court and really attack the glass. It won't be boring basketball. We'll put it to you like that.
No, because Eli, let's get you back in this conversation a bit. So with the sure you've been kind of reading who's matchups a little bit. I think Brandon's right. These teams are fairly similar. I think the size is the only big difference, but what do you think of, like, how's the guard play going to play up against Monte for Iowa State? Like, who's going to match up with him on Nevada's side, do you think? Or what do you think their plan could be?
I think it'll have a mix of Lindsey Drew and Marcus Marshall guarding Monte Morris. Like you mentioned, Iowa State, they don't have a guy taller than 6'5" that plays that plays significant minutes. So you're going to have to shuffle a lot of guys around. I think Nevada's backcourt matches up pretty well against Iowa State, even though the Cyclones have an All-American point guard with Morris. I would probably lean towards Lindsey Drew just because he seems to be the guy that is possessing the basketball as Nevada comes up the court more often than not. But it's either going to be Drew or Marshall. I think both of those guys are more than capable of defending and playing offense against Morris. Marshall's probably the best scorer in the entire conference, so it's going to be a very intriguing matchup.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be more likely Lindsey Drew is going to be the guy that's going to be focused in on stopping Monte Morris. Simply, I think he's their defensive stopper. I mean, they don't ask him to score a lot. I have his numbers available on me with Drew, but he's going to be their primary defensive guy. And he's going to try to put the clamps down on Monte Morris. It's going to be an interesting challenge, though, for Morris. I think Marshall, they're probably just going to keep, in my opinion, I think Marshall's just going to be there to help out on Morris if need be, if he gets going. Yeah, if they get going and Drew can't handle him, then in comes Marcus Marshall.
On the flip side, you might see Morris defend Marshall, though. He's a pretty good defender, so we might see Morris defend Drew, but I wouldn't be surprised if Monte wants to pick up Marshall on the other end.
All right, so let me ask you this real quick. They both shoot three-pointers pretty well, because that's going to be – oh, man, that's good. What do you think the over-under on total three-pointers is? 30?
Combined. I hope so. That would be entertaining.
Yeah, I'm feeling very adventurous on this. Let's just go. Yeah, I think they're just gonna be chucking bombs when they get off of the chucking three quarters when they get off the bus on Thursday.
They got Jimmy from Seinfeld out there chucking it.
Exactly. Just air it out. Marcus Marshall will come off the bus probably and chuck a three.
The best nickname I found, I chatting with those guys, here's a little bit, we're going to post this soon, you'll probably read it by now, but oh crap, my internet's being slow, but this is the best nickname by far. They have their best three-point shooter for Iowa State. It's a Nazareth, or well, not the best, but one of the better ones. He scores 15 a game. It's Nazareth Mitro Long. They call him dang it, too many tabs. They call him Threesis of Nazareth.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. That's good.
You gotta live up to the hype if that's your nickname, Threesis.
Goes back to us that they're gonna be just hitting threes when they get off the bus. It's gonna be for folks who like the 3-point shot, or they'll enjoy it. For folks who hate the 3-point shot, they might wanna.
But also, like, this team, like, these teams are also extremely athletic. We've seen what Cameron Oliver can do he did the freaking windmill on the fast break in the regular season finale. Just search. I know we have some Iowa State people listening. They tweeted us for me and Eli having some fun with our little pre-preview the other day. Good job with this stuff. They have their Dante Burton. also a physical freak similar to Cameron Oliver. Just search, if you don't know him, Google him. Make sure you put Iowa State or put Dunk so you get the right guy, because Nevada had a guy at the same name. But physical freak where they could just dunk it. So who's going to guard, like, so Eli, who's going to guard Cameron Oliver? Because, or actually, let me rephrase this. You're not going to guard him per se. He's, not that he's that good, but it's back to the size thing. Who's going to guard these big guys for Iowa State? What are they going to do?
I think Iowa State's, I've seen them a handful of times this year. I think probably you want to put Burton on Oliver. And even though that's a 3-inch size differential, Burton's, I would say, their biggest frame on their team. If I'm not mistaken, Solomon Young, who comes off the bench, he's 6'8", so that's the same height as Oliver. But like we've mentioned, that's the X factor. They have to find someone to slow down Oliver. And Iowa State's made it work. They have a lot of good wins this year against teams that have talented post players. So they're able to defend these large post players that can put up points. So it'll be a good matchup either way.
All right, so there's a lot more to do in this game. There's six things real quick, because again, if you're not following Chris Murray, Reno Gazette, what are you doing? Follow him right away for basketball for this stuff. He had six keys for this game real quick. We'll kind of glance over them. I put on Twitter a Deonte Burton dunk, but we already talked about their guard. They have Burton. Iowa State, they split Kansas and Baylor this year. Each beat them once. So they're 2-2. Versus when Baylor was number two, and they almost beat them each a second time. And Eli, didn't they end Kansas's absurd Big 12 home winning streak or something?
I believe
so. It was the longest in the country. It was an impressive game. They played phenomenal that night.
Let me ask you this, Brandon. What do you think the experience thing? I think that's one of the other keys. That's a big deal. This is Nevada's first tournament since 07. They did win the CBI last year, which smaller, but they've been in similar one-and-done situation. Whereas Iowa State, this is their sixth straight tournament. Do you think that matters? What extent does that matter? Because we see what Nevada plays. They're just loose and go out there. Not that it's just street ball, but they play pretty loose out there. Do you think that matters too much? Or maybe if the game tightens up, that's where there could be an issue.
I think they've been playing so well, even getting it's being the Mountain West. They've gotten the best shot from every team they've played in the last couple weeks. Colorado State twice in 7 days. Fresno State beat them twice in the regular season when they played in the semifinals. Fresno State really dominated in that first half, and then Nevada just came. Nevada really came on fire in the second half. I'm gonna refer to them as the Wolfpack.
Or somebody mentioned, just call him Reno.
The Reno team. Lord. But I think they've gotten everybody's best shot and taken their best punch, and Nevada kept going. Nevada just keeps on going. Iowa State is definitely a team that's been there, done that. Especially in the last six trips in the tournament. So I think they're not going to be fazed by. It's a bigger team with a bigger name and a Power Five conference. I don't see this team getting rattled. They definitely were rattled against Fresno State in the semis, or against Colorado State, and Colorado State just kept coming at them. I don't think nothing's gonna faze them at this point.
I don't think so. And one thing too, their bench is so thin. They played one guy last week in the title game off the bench. But I've looked around. Is there any – because we saw Cameron Oliver play, 25 minutes? Have either of you seen anything injury-wise or why he barely played? Because he played outside of those 12 or 13 rebounds, he had only 4 points. Was there anything you guys found, injury or something?
Nothing that I saw. Nothing in recent memory in the last month or so to warrant to figure, okay, it's an injury issue with Cameron Oliver. The team's been, to me, fairly healthy, and that's something given, they won 24 games, won the CGI, a postseason tournament. But really, they've been, other than Josh Hall, who got seriously hurt at the beginning of the conference play, I haven't seen a lot of injury issues with Nevada. I'm thinking maybe it was because of rest, because, you know, with the Wolfpack and Eric Musselman, brevity is key, especially when it comes to the to their bench. So I haven't seen any injury issues or concerns on this squad. Now I say that, and Cameron Alvin may get hurt 5 minutes in.
Didn't you think, I thought, Eli, didn't you mention you saw something maybe in the title game?
You know, I didn't see anything that would have related to an injury, but I have seen Oliver play a number of times this year, and there was clearly something up. He was kind of almost walking down the court at times, and he just seemed somewhat out of it. I don't know if it was mentally or what, but, and the commentators mentioned it too. They're just kind of saying, what's up with Cam Oliver? Because he was just kind of aloof, just jogging down the court at times and wasn't super involved in the offense. I don't know if that was just, maybe he was tired. I don't know. I mean, Nevada plays only six guys, so you're bound to get tired at some point, especially against a CSU team that likes to push it. But I think it was an anomaly. I mean, Oliver's a tremendous player, but it was odd. It was really strange.
So, nothing that I really saw that, you know, Eli, that you know, would raise any red flag. Maybe a few, maybe a little bit here and there, but nothing's like, oh, he's hurt. You know, they've been relatively healthy other than the Josh Hall is a matter at the beginning of the year.
And he still got 14 boards, so it's not like he was a no-show. So, I mean, it's still a phenomenal game. So,
yeah, and he averages, what, 2.5 blocks a game, too?
Yes.
Does it make a difference? Sorry, my CBS wants to start do autoplay. Sorry. the other key on there really quick, there's a former Iowa State player on this team. He's sitting out. Does that make a difference, do you think? Because Musselman's like, oh, I'm trying to pull up his name here.
Alice Cook.
Oh, hold on. Sorry.
Alice Cook, I believe.
Yeah, sorry. My autoplay started going nuts on me again. but do you think that really makes – I think you and me discussed it last time, but I wonder if, Brandon, you think. Does that make any difference, or just maybe some more situational stuff? Or it's like, oh, this guy likes to do this more. Because there's a lot of film to watch. Because Musselman's like – they're like, somebody asked him, are you going to watch the Kansas game or Baylor game? He's like, I need time to sleep. This is like an Elite Eight team. I can't watch everything. So, you know, he's watching those games for losses, but what do you think the advantage is of having a guy who played with this team last season? In my opinion, I think it would be more some smaller stuff, like, oh, they tend to do this, stuff you may not see necessarily on film.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, with Kyle's Cook, the transfer from Iowa State became with Nevada, I believe, and I might be wrong, the listeners can quote me on and correct me on this. I think he is going to play. I know he had a heart condition like this past summer. But with Alice Cook, I believe they might give him a little bit of inside information in terms of, okay, this is what they like to do. Here's some of their tendencies. Here's what they don't like to do. You know, if you have, you know, in particular, Monte Morris, make him go left instead of right because he doesn't like it that way. It gives him some advantage. I mean, it helps, you know, but I mean, nothing that Iowa State probably can't correct on their end, or at least I would think if you're Iowa State, you know,
or what Nevada could find just by watching.
Exactly. You know, it's like, you know, oh, they got House Cook, he thinks we gonna do this, but here's we gonna do this. You know, try to outthink themselves, but
yeah, it's not like Yeah, I think a little. Maybe it could be maybe a confidence boost a little bit. Oh, we have a little bit of info here. But it's not like you're going to stop Deontay Burton from an alley-oop or some backdoor play. You know what I mean? It's like right. If he's going to rise up or get the rebound and fast break. But let's do this. Let's wrap up this part really quick here. Kind of some keys, what you think may happen. Also for the game, we should mention it's 7 o'clock Pacific, True TV again. Is it still a 6-point favorite for Iowa State, I believe? I think that's still the current line.
Last I looked, it was 6.5. Around 6.
Yeah, it's about 6.5. So my keys to the game, because I was doing the Q&A back with those guys, I'm like, because they asked one of the questions to me, what's the like a matchup essentially? And obviously it's going to be who's going to guard Cameron Oliver, I think, and who's going to guard up against the All-American guard from Iowa State. And so, but I'm thinking I went one step further. Who has the bigger advantage between those two matchups? And I think that clearly goes to Nevada because of all – I think whoever – if they're guarding Monte for Iowa State or whoever's going to guard them on the Nevada side, he'll do fine. He'll have a good game. He'll do his thing. But I think Cameron Oliver has a better chance to exploit that 2 to 4 inch size advantage of whoever he's going up against. And I think that's going to be the big key. He can't, because he's had multiple games with single digits. He can't have that in this game if they're going to win. He needs to have nothing, not like a 25-15 game, but he probably needs to have close to his average, double-double, a block or two. I'd say 3 combined defensive steals, like block, turnover, or block or steal. But I think it has to be like at least 18 and 12 for them to get a win. But I think for the matchup, that's probably, for me, the biggest matchup advantage, how Nevada's going to win because of that.
Yeah, and I think we put in this on the preview that I'm working on now. One of the keys is rebounding for me. I think Cameron Oliver and Jordan Caroline especially, they have to crash the glass and take advantage of Iowa State. They're basically lack of size in the paint. I think the big difference with Iowa State and Nevada is similarly they like to run up and down the court, but Nevada has the advantage on the size and in the paint. So I think they have to take advantage of that in order to win. More likely, it may have to be a double digit or close to it. I believe I read the stat that in the tournament, in the Mountain West tournament, Oliver and Caroline both combined for an average of close to 18 rebounds. So that's about 9 apiece, if my math is right on that. So, yeah, about 9 rebounds for each for them would be enough. And hitting some threes for Nevada to try to pull out the win.
All right, Eli, what's your kind of key for a Nevada victory?
You know, I think it's – I'm taking a different angle on this. I mean, it's clear that Monte Morris, he's an awesome player. He's going to get his own. I mean, Nevada has no chance of slowing him to under 10 points, 15 points. I think the same goes with Burton. What I want to see happen if I'm Nevada, you have to slow down a guy like Matt Thomas or Naz Long. Thomas is a guy
excuse
that shoots 40.
Threesis, excuse me.
Properly. Yeah, threesis, that's right. Well, I mean, hey, Matt Thomas shoots much better from deep than he does, but I have to give respect to where it's due for threesis. You don't earn a nickname for no reason. But Matt Thomas is a fantastic player, 44% from deep, 88% at the line, 51% from two. I think it's going to be a player that maybe we aren't expecting. Maybe it's... I don't think it's going to be Morris or Burton. Those are two players that are fantastic that are going to get their own no matter what. But if Nevada lets a guy like Thomas or Long or maybe even Babb go off for 15 or 20, they're going to be in trouble. So I think that's probably the key. And also, there was one other factor I was going to mention here.
The turnover percentage, that one?
Yeah, that too. But I think Nevada just has to start strong and stay consistent throughout the game. It was pretty remarkable how shaky at times the Nevada offense was and then lights out. I mean, there you have the ability to go on a 10-0 run and then not score a basket for 5-6 minutes. So the Wolfpack can't afford to go streaky like that, even though it has been beneficial to them because they can go on those runs. But if they go cold, Iowa State can fill it up in no time at all. So they have to avoid any sort of scoring drought.
It's like the Fresno game. They were down, 10? Exactly. They were on that huge run. You can't do that.
Yeah. Especially with the Fresno game. I can cut you off. But that Fresno game, you mentioned, Eli, they got cold. Fresno State really clamped down on them. Nevada was cold offensively, but Fresno on defense played really well. And then, the second half, Nevada went off. You're right. They can't afford to do that against Iowa State and think they're going to win.
And Nevada made one basket every 5 minutes in the second half against Colorado State. So if it weren't for making, I think, 24, 25 free throws, they wouldn't even be in this tournament. So they can't afford to go 5-6 minutes without a basket, or this isn't going to happen.
Two last notes I have really quick, then we'll give some predictions, then do a little Final Four bracket stuff here. So one stat I mentioned the prior show, well, you mentioned rebound, size advantage. The difference... I know this stat's not – it's a couple layers for this. Nevada only out – and when you go by pure rebounding numbers, Nevada has 39 per game. Iowa State, 35. That's pretty close. But, Eli, wasn't a stat I think Nevada is basically it's like a 7-rebound swing. Nevada's about a 4+ advantage, whereas Iowa State is about a 3.5 or 4- advantage in rebounding. So if that stays true and there's a 7-rebound advantage, that's possibly, say, half of those are offensive rebounds. That could be 3 more possessions in a game. That's going to be a big deal. And then one last thing I mentioned, Matt Norlander of CBS, he's been also doing a ton of coverage, so check him out as well. He mentioned, like, breakout players in of only a handful of teams, not many, about a dozen or so. And he mentioned the combo of Jordan Caroline and Marcus Marshall, because that's Nevada may have 3 potential pro players on this team, at least 2. But, like, obviously it says they're well known to the Mountain West. It's obviously the 12-5 game, but basically part of it is that the amount of points they put up is where they're going between the two. They almost average, or what does he have here? We know Marshall leads the team in scoring. I'm just kind of going off his notes here a little bit, what he did. But and then also you have a double-double as well. Like, 2 players almost average a double-double. Not many teams do that. And I just think, like, I know it's cliche, oh, rebounding size, but look how many second chances they get. Look how many fast breaks Nevada gets all the time. That's going to be huge. And I'm doing it. Nevada, victory for me. They're going to win.
Going back on your point for a sec, those extra possessions are huge. You won't find teams that turn over the ball a ton and don't rebound well that pull off upsets. You have to have those extra possessions because teams like Nevada that are smaller teams, usually their shooting kind of goes away when they're playing in these tournaments. Obviously, you have your exceptions like Florida Gulf Coast and Mercer and those types of teams, but it doesn't happen very often. So Nevada's got to get those extra possessions they need to get after the loose balls, which they have the last few weeks and throughout the season. So if they're able to limit the turnovers, unlike the CSU game, they should at the very least have a shot.
So what is it? Yes or no? Come on. Yes or no? Are they going to win or not?
I'm going Nevada. I am this time.
This time. Okay. Well, I think it's going to be it's the rebounding. I think Nevada has the size. Iowa State doesn't have anybody over 6'5". So I think they can.
I know. That's, for me, it's like that. It's huge.
And that's something you would expect from and no disrespect, for a smaller school where, hey, we can't
exactly
big guy. Can't a big guy. But, you know, for a Power 5 school, and a successful Power 5 school like Iowa State to do that, that's remarkable. I think, like I said, Nevada can attack the glass, and you know, I think they have the offense to give Iowa State fits. I'm putting my preview on this. I'm going with Nevada. I think they can pull. It's going to be an exciting game. I like Nevada to win. It's going to be close, but I think the Wolfpack pull it out and get the win in advancing at least to the round of 32.
Mm-hmm. And then one quick thing, I found the preview on CBS on this game itself. I just happened to click on it. Like, here's what Steve Pro mentioned, their head coach. Obviously, we know their offense. Like, Nevada, while they run set plays, they kind of, I don't want to say they just kind of freelance it, but it looks like they do. Because they'll shoot threes, they'll see who's open. And here's the best point he makes about the size difference and style of play. While they both shoot similar three-point range, have a similar style, adjusted tempos nearly identical with these two teams. The biggest thing is like their five, like Pro says their 5, referring to Nevada, referring to Oliver, who's not really a 5. It's like he says stretch 4. He's like he compares himself to Draymond Green, which is pretty good. Their 5 is more traditional, even though their 5 is Cram and Oliver bigger than their 5.
No, I mean Cram and Oliver are bigger than their 4 and their 3. And but anyway, like I said, I think it's the size advantage. And also, he could step back and hit threes, too. Deontay Burton, Iowa State's Deontay Burton's no slouch either. I believe he averages 14. I'm not sure of his 3-point percentage, but the Wolfpack have that weapon. I almost said it.
It's okay. It's all right.
But the Wolfpack have that advantage that I think Iowa State can't match. And I'm thinking that might be the trendy 5-12. I think this is the only, other than Minnesota and Middle Tennessee State seems to be like the hot 5-12 upset.
They have like the actual like ESPN stats info puts this as the third of four teams potential upset at 23%.
Oh, ah, so.
But still, 1 in 4, that's pretty good.
I mean, yeah, if just looking at it, just knowing what we know, just taking ourselves away from who we cover, I mean, that would be the obvious one. And let's not forget, Iowa State was a 3 a couple years ago, 2 years ago, I want to say. They were a 3 seed, and they got bound. I had them going to the Final Four about 2 years ago.
Oh, man.
And
lost to UAB, right?
Say again?
I think they lost to UAB that first round.
Yes. In the 3
A game I still haven't figured out.
Yes. And, hey, been 2 years, I still don't know. But, yeah, and so it does not forget that, you know, Iowa State could get got in this tournament, and Nevada is probably the perfect team that could get them.
Because they compare this team to Oklahoma State, who beat them this year twice.
Oh, wait,
Iowa State beat them 3 times here. Sorry. And I'm like, wait, they had the list. Sorry. They compare them to Oklahoma State, who Iowa State. It's just worded weird. It says, some have compared Nevada, most Oklahoma State, comma, who Iowa State beat 3 times a season. But it. So, okay, let's kind of do a big picture bracket before I let Brandon go to finish this thing up here. So, if we have the bracket in front of us here, we're all saying that Nevada's going to get a victory. Is that. Are we correct on that? Is that what we're going with?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if Nevada wins, like Eli, you're familiar with the other side. You have another potential upset, I think possibly, the Cottonmouths of Vermont and Purdue. So how far do you think, like, are any of us picking Nevada to win 2 games?
I am.
Ooh.
No, I'm not. And this is no bias on my end either. Like, if I think Purdue's going to lose the first round, I'm going to take them to lose the first round. But Purdue Nevada would be an awesome matchup. Those two teams are extremely similar the way they play. So that is a game that could go either way.
And you know what? With Purdue and Robert O'Neill, who writes for the Big East blog, mentioned it, and I kind of talked to him about it. With Purdue, they to me, and Eli could be, and correct me if I'm wrong, Purdue seems more like a traditional team. Like, they have 2 big men that just pound the paint, you know, give them the ball and then just pound the paint. And I think the reason why I think Nevada can win 2 games at least is I think Nevada has the shooting end to push them away, try to get them away from Purdue's comfort zone.
Because we know Big Ten likes to win 48-46.
Only in the regular season.
Yeah,
only in the regular season. When they get to the tournament, man, it's like, man,
Wisconsin.
They put up points. Wisconsin, they score, but they're slow, but they score points in the tournament. You know, but whenever you get Wisconsin and, you know, Purdue playing, yeah,
it's weird for me because Purdue, ever since I've started watching them, they're usually a team that is like you said, a traditional style, and I think they still are to an extent. But this is the 4th best team in the nation in terms of 3-point percentage. They have at least 3 or 4 guys on the floor at all times that can hit from deep, and that includes Swanigan too. But I think Swanigan and Oliver, pound for pound, they're both fantastic players that can score inside, score outside. But I don't know. Just in my opinion, I think people make too big of a deal, I guess, out of Purdue's big men, because Isaac Haas, who is 7'2", he can completely disappear from games at times. He's Purdue tries to feed him in the post, and he mishandles balls. And he's a good player, don't get me wrong. But I Purdue and Nevada play very similar styles, which could make it a game that could go either way. And that it would be an interesting matchup if that's what happens.
I'll say this. They have the potential to win 2 games. I am not sure they will.
Purdue or Nevada?
No, Nevada. Because, again, people always say you need guard play, which this team has big guards. They're athletic. And I'll mention again, like, they always say, if you're going to go far, you need future pros. They have at least 2 future NBA players on this roster, maybe 3.
Right.
And now let's do this, because I think we've done enough on this game really quick. Let's go all the way to the Final Four. Do these have to be in stone, or can we massage these later in the week?
I know I am. I'll make the change by the time I jump off here, because you guys will talk me out of it.
What do you got right now? What do you have right now for your Final Four? And remember, that's in Glendale for the Final Four.
Okay. Well, I have, and this is so chalky, so I'm going to change it anyway. I have Villanova, Arizona, Louisville and UNC.
Interesting. You expect, you like Louisville, who can't win on the road, to go that far?
No, I'm going. See?
I knew it, yes!
He's already changing. He's already got the eraser out.
All right, let's see. In that region, I'm going to have to take Louisville out and see. I have them drop to Michigan, you know.
No, I have them
losing. Because they don't have their stud player in the front court, so.
I have them losing to Michigan, I think.
That's bold.
Are they going to if they can wear their practice uniforms again?
Because Michigan won their conference tournament based on winning 4 games in 4 days. How can they, I mean, other than UConn from 2011, they, has a team that won their conference tournament, you know, really got going? Because I feel like if you're going to do it, you have to have that stud player. Like UConn won 5 games in 5 days, I believe. Mm-hmm. And they had Kemba Walker. So I don't know. I have them winning a game, but I have them losing to Louisville.
That's probably the smart pick, though, actually.
No longer my Final Four pick. Thank you, Jeremy.
I do have Rhode Island going somewhat far, because they were at one point a top 25 team.
How far is that?
I have them right now. If I look at my current bracket, I have Rhode Island playing Iona in round 2.
There you go.
Then Rhode Island versus Louisville. I'll probably pick Louisville to win that game, which is farther than I want, but I don't know. I haven't really seen Rhode Island. I just read what people are saying. I'm like, oh, it makes sense. Because the prediction is like 2% if they're playing Louisville, looking at the Yahoo stats.
2% chance of winning?
That's user picks. I read that wrong. Sorry. User picks.
Oh, okay.
So if the matchup is Louisville, Rhode Island, it's 2%. So here's my Final Four, and I'm pretty confident I'm going to stick with this. I like Arizona because they could be playing at home because they really want to get there. But this Gonzaga team is so good. I've seen them play a bunch of times. I saw them lose to BYU. Saw them play San Diego State. Saw them play a couple other games. I'm going to go Villanova. It sucks. It's 3 number one seeds. Nova, Gonzaga, Kansas, and UCLA. UCLA fans will hate it if they go this far. They want Steve Alford out so bad. And I'm having a repeat champ, Nova over Kansas.
I have Nova over UNC in my title game. I just don't think UCLA can put up enough defense, though. I mean, future Orlando Magic point guard Lonzo Ball.
Wait, hold on. What do you feel about LeVar Ball? Because he's an idiot. LeVar Ball, you don't want him on your team. You don't want his kids anywhere near your team. He's going to be a GM's worst nightmare.
No. Hey, the Magic are going to be drafting I'm blanking. I'm messing up the state name and I'm messing up the name. They're not drafting him. You could just put his father in the background. He'll be all right. Let him do his thing. I just need him to be on the guard and drag Orlando out of mediocrity or the bottom of the Eastern Conference. So he can say what he wants. Billion dollar studio, great. Does Orlando make the tournament? To make the playoffs? Great. You know.
I'll be generous, guys. It could be spread over 10 years, $100 million per year.
Great. Oh, did Orlando make the playoffs? Great.
I think my joke is pretty good. Because he's like, I can beat Michael Jordan. I'm like, yeah, Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, my gosh. Didn't he play in the Celebrity All-Star game a few years back?
Probably.
Yes.
I think
and
he did.
And average more points than Lonzo Ball.
LeVar Bell.
I'm like 2.2 points a game. Said he can take on MJ.
Exactly. Oh man.
So who you got, Eli? What's your Final Four?
Well, this is the hardest bracket I've ever filled out. It's difficult for me to choose outside of 1 and 2 seeds, which I hate doing because I don't like doing the chalk stuff.
I know. That's what I'm like.
I know. Oh.
Yeah, 3 1s and a 2. I feel like I should go work for ESPN or something.
All right.
For the East region, I went with Virginia. That was my dark horse.
Ooh, they're I don't.
Yeah,
they just lose too early. That's all my thing. They're not a bad team, but they just seem to always come up short for some reason.
Yeah, I feel the same with you too. But I feel like that's a team seeded fourth or worse that has the best chance. And I'm like, I'll take Virginia, see what happens. Because I think
they got Wilmington, who has 2 great players from last year and a transfer, almost beat Duke last year.
I'm not too sold on Wilmington. I think they'll be fine. So I got Virginia in the East, which is my dark horse, which will, I assume, be incorrect, but gotta go for it. And Arizona in the West, I think that's pretty easy. And then Kansas in the Midwest, I'm every time I pick Kansas deep in my bracket, it always burns me. So we'll see what happens this year.
Fuck now.
Yeah, no kidding. I think I've picked them twice and they didn't get past this. First time I picked them was when they lost in Northern Iowa to Farouk Manesh and those guys. Oh, so we go way back. And then I have UNC winning it all. They're coming out of the South.
Interesting. All right, let's do this. Do you have stupid upset picks, anybody?
Oh, yeah.
I do, yeah.
What's yours, Brandon? Go with yours.
I'm going to go. You know what? I have probably not really much of a stupid upset. You know, I think probably people are probably going this way. Aside from having Nevada going to the Sweet 16. I had Florida Gulf Coast beating Florida State. And not because of any disdain towards Florida State, but Florida State to me, I know they finished second in the ACC. Darling of the Power Five schools, and they had a great season. No knock on them. But I feel like they backslid towards the end of the season, and Leonard Hamilton, in terms of tournament success, not so great.
Tournament once every 5 years or so.
Yes, you know, Eli. I think we talked about it. You know.
Oh yeah, we did. Yep.
Two schools only got into the tournament only a handful of times. I mean, but. We're saying this about Florida State getting bounced by Florida Gulf Coast, a season tournament team, but Florida State could easily be playing themselves into the Elite Eight. You know, they have that talent with Raythan Mays and Bacon and that group. But I could totally see them laying the egg. They could be the three seed that gets bounced early. So that's going to be a stupid upset for me.
Eli, what do you got?
So for me, I'm not a big believer in Florida State either, just because Hamilton usually doesn't get it done. I have them winning that game, but
consider real quick unbalanced ACC schedule too. So think about that.
That is true.
While they're second, don't get me started on why UNC is a one seed over Duke, but whatever.
I thought that was pretty fair. I
listened to Gary Parrish too much, and he convinced me quite a bit.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about though. So he for does. My stupid upset pick, which I don't think is going to be stupid because I think it's going to happen. I've got Mexico State beating Baylor. I haven't been a big believer in Baylor throughout this season. I think since November and December, they've been really tailing off. They don't finish games very strong. And I've seen a couple games from New Mexico State, and I think this team's pretty good. So I've had some decent luck picking 14 seeds over three, so maybe this is the year that happens again. We'll see.
And they've been there tournament before when Marvin Menzies there. And now, I don't know who the coach is, but they've been there for a while.
Yeah. That seems like a program that keeps going, you know, that no matter who the coach is. I'm sorry, I didn't catch her.
No, it's okay.
Hey, Rob. No, you're good.
Does everybody have Middle Tennessee State winning over Minnesota?
Yeah, I do, reluctantly. I don't like picking the same upsets as everyone else because it doesn't seem to happen. I do have that.
I don't know. Okay.
There's just something about the Big Ten as a whole.
That is true.
There is always that. I think Wisconsin, like they're the eight freaking eight seed. So, my upset. DM'd Eli enough about this. I'm just gonna go with it. I have two.
Just go for it.
Yes, I went there for a couple of years. I'm going with Iona to beat Oregon. Wait,
bad.
Where's my cricket sound? Crap, I don't have a cricket sound anymore. I can play that. Wait, Jermaine. there it is.
Rimshot will work.
Yeah, my little inner the thing's being weird, but I've seen them play enough. They beat Nevada one game. They also they obviously win their conference. They had to play Monmouth. They played them well, and Oregon lost their best possibly their best player to an ACL tear. That has to be.
I think Oregon's gonna be fine, but Iona's got a solid team, and you watch them a lot more than I do. So,
maybe three times, but
that's still something.
Yeah, but here's this. Let me wrap this up for my part real quick. I have Rhode Island winning against Creighton, and then I have Rhode Island versus Iona. I have Rhode Island into Sweet 16.
Didn't Matt Norlander have the same thing, too? I think he has Rhode Island in the Sweet 16.
I listened to their Sunday night podcast at CBS. He likes them partly because they played well early in the year and projected to play well. I'm not going off that, but it's kind of reading how they've been doing and where they kind of were at the beginning of the year, and people thought that they're kind of playing reasonably well now. And then I also have, okay, this might be a dumb upset pick, but Wichita State's extremely underseeded because they crushed the Missouri Valley. I have them beating Kentucky.
I do too. I think Wichita's very impressive. And Kentucky, they seem to be turning it on at the right time. But I feel like people are comparing them to the 2014 team that kind of waffled their way through that regular season and picked up during the tournament. This 2017 team isn't that. Better guard play. I like Fox and Malik Monk over to the, as opposed to the Harrison twins. But I think they may run into a period where Wichita State's defense is going to clamp down on them, and Wichita State will end up getting them in the round of 32.
Let me ask you this. Should I pick Wichita State over UCLA?
I have it on my bracket.
You guys are high on Wichita.
I have them at least getting to the Final Eight.
They've been to the Final Four. They've been undefeated regular season. I don't know. I'll need to look into it more, but I think Wichita State can do well. But I guess my overall dumb upset pick is Iona getting a victory, but then losing to Rhode Island and get Sweet 16.
If it happens, you'll have bragging rights over me for eternity. So,
hey, if you get to Mexico State winning, that's a good one. All right, yeah, I think we're just going to – obviously, we've gone long enough, Brandon. We're just going to finish out here because we're just chatting about everything. So no reason to say, we'll see you later. It's been almost an hour, 50 minutes already.
Hey, I'm here. I might as well just
– obviously, I will –
jump a little bit.
I kind of assumed this would have happened, so I'm like, oh, it's not a big deal. We'll keep going here. So really quick, well, Colorado State won. Boise might win. We'll get to that NIT later. So – any final thoughts about Nevada or anything, Brandon, that you want to bring up real quick?
No, nothing. I mean, just I got my preview working on that now, so that'll hopefully can get it up by we'll get it finished tonight and get it up by tomorrow.
Wednesday.
Yes, Wednesday. I'm in East Coast time. So
I'm just saying what day it is. That's what I mean. Like, so people know. Oh, tomorrow. The game's tomorrow.
Oh, okay. It's midnight. So.
Hey, if you listen to this Tuesday in any time zone, let us know because it's getting late on Tuesday.
Yeah. I'm just thinking real quick about that. The that Northwestern Vanderbilt game, or just 8-9 games in general, just they just get to me. If anybody has any better luck picking those 8-9 games, please let me know because I probably whiff on all four of them.
All right, here are some stupid upset picks from our questions we had. Our good buddy Matt Kennerly says St. Mary's to Elite Eight, I think he said.
Oh, my goodness.
I did that. Yeah, I saw that.
There was something else, too.
Troy, Elite Eight?
Yeah, Troy over Duke. Butler over UNC for the final four spot from our CSU guy, Josh Fredlund. What else we got here? I think that's it. No, we got about people blocking each other on Twitter. No, that's not it. Ohio State will upset. Oh, wait, they're not in the tournament.
They're not in the tournament.
No. I know. No, somebody was joking about that. I had one other thing on here I was going to say. Crap, where'd it go? I had too many mentions today. Shoot. I had one more thing in the tournament, but any final thoughts? Oh, you know, here it is. Final question. Since there's always the concern about Nevada or Nevada, because, Brandon, you do know it's the reason they say it differently in Iowa, because there's a town in Iowa called Nevada.
I saw that Sunday. And I saw that Sunday night after this election, show, and all the pairings were announced. I did see that, and it was like, okay. And I have to remind myself the correct pronunciation. It's almost, because I'm in Florida, and it's like, people say Florida or Florida. So it's similar. And
Florida.
How do you say the – I assume you say Louisville, right? Correct? Louisville?
It's similar to Louisville. Almost like Mike Greenberg. That how he pronounces it, I think that's the correct way of saying it. It's like of Louisville. It's like Louisville. So you say it like that, so that way you're not.
Oh, looks like my Utes blew a lead. Boise State beat Utah in the NIT. 73-68. I got to watch the
Final. One of your schools is out now, Jeremy, so you got to hope for Iona now.
I know, the two schools I went to. I'm also going to semi-claim Utah Valley because I produced the radio games and they're in the CBI. So Go Wolverines.
That counts.
I guess, and Eli, maybe you may know this. I thought Utah, didn't they finish fourth or fifth in the
Pac-12?
Fourth. I guess the resume just wasn't strong enough.
No.
I think they put an awful non-conference schedule, too.
Yeah, they played.
They lost to Oregon State, so they should be automatically disqualified.
Yeah, they played their best games were Xavier and Butler, and I think they lost both of them.
Yikes.
Eli, you said they lost a 4-win Oregon State team.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the worst team I've ever seen from a major conference since I started following the sport.
And they beat the weirdest thing. They beat Cal by 30 at home, then lose to him in Las Vegas.
So confusing.
I thought they were going to do things. I mean, Oregon State was a tournament team, and it looked like they returned some of the players back from their tournament team, and I thought that was going to be a big win for the Wolfpack.
At the time, I thought so too.
Hey, more Nick Duncan. Yes.
Yes. Didn't he start off 0-7 tonight or something, or is that someone else?
I don't know what he did. Maybe let's find. We'll find it. We don't need to worry about it now. But my tweet got favorited by the Pipey 3, Eli, but no word on if he's going to go to the pie because it might be closed at this hour.
No, we need some.
Hey, if you want
Nick Duncan coverage.
Hey, if you want, honestly, they deliver pizza, and I can deliver a pie from the pizza from the Pie Pizzeria if you like. It could be mail
all the way to Seattle. That's going to set me back.
It could be mail. I'll see how much it costs. No, I'll take care of it. I'll see how much it costs. Maybe I'll ship you a pizza from the Pie Pizzeria.
Okay. All right. That sounds great.
Good pizza.
No guarantees they're going to be hot, though, but.
No. What they do, I was looking at the site because Taste Pie Day, obviously, 314. So I'm and I see people on my Facebook page. They go to this place because they have the giant 23-inch pizza you can't get through your front door. And so I was like, oh my God, because it's, we don't need to get into it. You heard it last show, but Brandon, it's like very, very good pizza. There's like a couple around town, right by the University of Utah there. And I was like, I'm like, you can mail pizza. I'm like, how do they do that? So apparently they flash freeze it and send it to you like next day or something.
Oh, really?
So I may say, if it's not super expensive, you might be getting a pizza from me in the mail.
Sweet. You can send Nick Duncan too. We need to chat or something.
We need to do something. We need to get him on the show somehow and chat with him. So
that would be awesome.
All right. I think we're – apparently the big deal was Kellen. Was Kellen Moore in the crowd for this game? I think I see him on Twitter everywhere right now.
He's available.
Yeah, I think I saw that too.
A lot of free time.
All right. So I think we're done with the show. We all have Nevada winning. If there's a victory, we – maybe we'll shoestring a podcast or Facebook Live down the road from Saturday. Maybe not. We'll see. So let's go Nevada. Colorado State won. Boise State won. Really quick, final last question, I promise, because it's getting really late for you, Brandon, I know. So do NIT victories for those conferences mean anything if, say, Boise wins a couple, CSU, Fresno? Does it mean anything if they win a couple games in this tournament? NIT at all, or is it all what Nevada for the league to say? Oh, we look pretty good if Nevada wins two games.
I think the perception for me, I take big picture. If the NIT teams, Colorado State and all of them do well, I think it helps the conference. And you have Nevada that's doing well as well. But I think the idea, the general perception, is Nevada has to do well in the tournament. You know, win at least the game. Because that's what everybody's going to be looking at, you know. And this is going to be a team that's going to return most of their players back, except for maybe Marcus Marshall.
And Cameron Oliver, possibly. He's probably gone.
He's staying. you know.
What if Musselman goes somewhere else because they win two games and he takes over his former assistant job at LSU?
LSU. I just don't see him. I don't see that because I read a look, because they mentioned that, a little blurb. And I think his family is like a stone's throw away from like the Bay Area, so I don't see him leaving for LSU.
Well, the Cal job could open up too. So
Cal, Stanford,
Washington.
I maybe Washington's a little bit of a stretch. If he leaves, he's leaving for a West Coast job just to be near.
It's wishful thinking.
Well,
hey Eli, do you want to? Eli, do you want to quit?
Romar, baby.
Oh my God!
Hey, Eli, do you want a super hot Pac-12 take real quick?
Sure, let's do it.
This guy who writes for the Scout site at University of Utah, quote on Twitter: "Knee-jerk reaction, duh. If Utah misses NCAA tourney again in 2017, Kraskowiak, it's time to move on from Coach K."
Oh, man.
People.
That's, yikes. I mean, you know how good Utah was last year, even though they lost early as a top 10 team.
Apparently Hutchinson lit it up 34 points in the victory.
He's good.
All right, I think that's our show. We're good. We are wrapping up. It's gone 1 hour. When he gets out quickly so people can listen, follow. Sure, if you want to follow me on Twitter, Jeremy Moss, Betker_Eli, and then Blake's Babbles. That's what it is. That's close. Yes. Close enough. Blake_Babbles.
Blake_Babbles. You got it.
Get the underscore there.
Do that and you'll find.
look for that. So that's the show for tonight. We'll see you guys. We'll have some more basketball shows later on, but let's hope Nevada gets a victory. And we're not by a signature team. We're going to be victorious. I'm trying to find the end button. I can't, so I'll have to edit this. I have four tabs open. Here we go. Officially 1 hour podcast for basketball. So we'll see everybody next time. Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcast app, Pocket Cast, iTunes, whatever, go there. And we will see you guys